It's those two assholes, those two idiots you saw me talking to at the third rail.
Just he doesn't want to touch the third rail.
That is the third rail, saying white people have interest.
Third rail. The third rail here is another wonderful show on the TRS network.
And it's the third rail. You will be destroyed.
It's the third rail. You will be destroyed.
Watch out for the third rail, baby. That's high voltage.
And the opinion of this reporter, if this nation, or in fact the world, ever needed heroes, that time is now. That time is now.
All right, everybody, welcome back to episode 205 of Third Rail. Like the inevitable collapse of the United States into a banana republic, this is happening. With me on the mics today is the Greek god with the hairy bod, Nikephoros.
Good morning, hello.
The rhinestone racist, if you will.
That's right. Rocking the Five Below headphones.
Tell them why. Yes. That's because you're irresponsible.
Yes, I don't have my normal headphones with me, so I had to borrow a child's pair.
Right. And you heard him just now. You know him. You love him. The host of Hate House.
Spectre, yes, I am here. I am Spectre. What's going on, guys? How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Larry Ridgway. Borzoi and Spectre, in a mutual fit of self-loathing, decided that nothing was worth it and that they were going to find something productive to do with their lives. So you have me instead. Welcome to the third rail. We're here to chip post about the news, live stream a little bit, and brighten your Saturday just slightly.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Sorry.
No, that's all right. It's okay. That's all right. It's perfectly understandable.
Big topic.
Let's just get ready. Let's get right into it. Larry, you got any winners and losers?
When I woke up this morning, I didn't. But I had someone tell me a little bit of news action this morning. Apparently, they're ripping down the Robert E. Lee statue in Charlottesville, Virginia. Either that or it has already happened. I'm unclear, but.
So I guess it's happened today.
It has already happened today?
It's happening today. Yes, that and not only the General Lee, but the General Jackson statue. So,
yeah, real quick, we know how this is going on, but like, I thought they were like, they couldn't do that. What the fuck happened? What, they like sell the park for like a dollar or something? Didn't they do that with Nathan Bedford Forrest? They sold Forrest Park for like a dollar so they could fucking.
Yes, they did.
Exhume him and move him and his wife somewhere else, because you can't be buried here, because like, I don't know, like the racism could seep into the ground and people would drink it up into their fucking tap water,
something like that. I you know,
so, but did that happen? Like, did the ungrateful Wes Bellamy sell fucking Lee Park or what? What do they call it? No, they call it like Emancipation Station now. Did they sell that and they ripped the statues down? I mean, it isn't enough that they already fucking vandalized it and then shined that fucking hologram, the Easter Island hologram on the fucking side of the Robert E. Lee statue.
Yeah.
I think there was, because the common poverty of Virginia decided to like completely fuck their shit up, fam. Whatever laws there were protecting, like statewide laws protecting statues, you know, was changed, and now they were able to bring it down.
That's right. Yeah, both the Robert E. Lee statue and the Stonewall Jackson statue officially removed as of an hour ago per Fox News.
Oh, dude, and I'd love to see what Fox News said about it. They were probably like, horrible racist statue. You know, we must condemn our slave-holding history or some shit like that, you know what I mean?
Well, I've got the story right here. Would you like me to read it?
Yeah, but before you do, man, it is just so exhausting living in the hellhole that is the United States of America. Like, as a white man, you wake up and it's like every day is, I mean, the sun never sets on losing for us in this country, it seems. Can't have any history whatsoever. In the history that, like, the events that they do that, like, whites can still have, they want to recast these as, like, black events now. To, like, where the characters and like, these reportrayals of these things, they're just fucking blacks. Like, I mean, this is an American, but, like, one that sticks out to me, that Anne Boleyn story. Anne Boleyn.
Yeah, no.
In...
Dude, like, right. Like, and we have pictures, we have portraits of Anne Boleyn, and she was, like, literally milk pale.
Not even this close, is... dude. And it was, like, it wasn't even, there's, like, not even up for fucking debate. Like, people get away with their bullshit about, like, you know, people, what do they say, like, George Washington was black. Well, I guess we got pictures of him, too, man. Like, oh, that's just white. But I don't know, they could say, like, the Anne Boleyn is, like, whitewashing or something. Like, oh, no, you know, she actually had, like, gigantic, like, I don't know, what was the, like, shilling-sized nostrils or something. Not, like, those little tiny point things that, like, white people have. Like, little pointy noses, or they had giant fucking smashed-in, like, orangutan noses. Oh, that's how she actually had it. We just painted it that way to make it look white. Stealing their history. But really, they're stealing ours. All of our statues are getting ripped down. All of the TV shows that, like, they allow to stick around, they just get recast as fucking a bunch of niggers and shit, dude. And it happens all the time.
Dude, I remember a while back, Ice Cube was on this We Was Kangs spree on his Twitter. And so, you know, he was posting a just no context, no caption series of pictures of different, you know, examples of the typical Kang's thing, and one of the images that he shows is like these Russian Orthodox priest carrying around like parading an icon of Mary and Jesus, and the egg tempura that you use to write an icon, you know, darken over time, and he's posting this as this like, see, told y'all.
You know,
okay, so I'm gonna
out here praying to white cornbread Jesus, but he was Kang.
did you just say cornbread Jesus?
Yeah, no, that's probably what they'd say.
This is completely like I'm just gonna describe the Fox News story, published an hour ago. Confederate Robert E. Lee Stonewall Jackson statues in Charlottesville officially removed.
Who wrote it?
Photos and videos posted. Audrey Conklin filed the story. Photos and videos posted to social media show a crowd gathered to watch the process on Saturday morning. So this is Fox News, keep in mind. And of course, in the sidebar is things like Robert Durst caught with ex-wife, with Jill Biden's ex, you know, Britney Spears post topless photo amid blank, and you know, instead of like serious news stories, there's all kinds of bullshit on the sidebar. But here's what the story actually has to say. Quote, the city of Charlottesville, Virginia officially removed its statues of Confederate General Robert E. Lee and General Thomas Stonewall Jackson on Saturday. Viewing areas for the removal of the statues was erected so that bystanders could watch cranes lift the statues from their plinth blocks. The process was nearly complete just before 9 a.m. Photos and videos posted on social media, so a crowd gathered to watch the process on Saturday morning. Seth Whispelwee, at Reverend Seth Dubb, Mayor Nakuya Walker speaking some fire in front of this idol to white supremacy that's about to come down, Stevie's statues down. Molly Conger, socialist dog mom, is on Fox News. Charlottesville Robert E. Lee statue has been lifted from the plinth with video.
Dude, you know
next
what?
Up, Stonewall Jackson. So here's Fox News giving Molly Conger, the communist crazy person that would ruin everyone here's lives if she could.
Yeah, no, she's in with the professional docs crowd.
Yeah,
Yeah, and Fox News has you know, there's not anyone else's tweets that could have promoted. They had to promote, right?
And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, dude. And this is going to continue to happen as demographics slide in this fucking country into, like, into just total oblivion, to where, dude, Fox News in like 5 years is going to, it's going to be. I mean, they're
it is now.
They're already there now. Like, we're all like, there. Oh, we're the most pro faggot stuff. Like, oh, you know, we're against racism, man, and like, we love faggots. There's nothing different. There's nothing that differentiates them from. We live in a hellhole. It's like a uniparty hellhole.
Exactly right. So, Charlottesville Mayor Nakuya Walker. Okay. Just a second here. Charlottesville isn't just some town in Virginia. It's freaking Thomas Jefferson's hometown. Thomas Jefferson, and the mayor is named Nakuya Walker. Think about that for a minute.
Well, yo, it's
didn't it just start as like literally only his plantation, and then like he just attracted people into a, like a full-fledged city? Like him being there made it into what it is today. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And you know, that sounds actually pretty natural that mayor's name would be like Nakuya Walker or some bullshit like that. Didn't he used to like fuck nigga bitches back in the day?
Yeah, like his wife's cousin that was like 7/8 white.
Yeah, fun fact. Niggers still stank back then. Even worse.
Yeah, imagine the smell, dude. Fucking nasty, nappy-headed hoe hasn't taken a bath in like 2 years. Oh my!
You're like gonna share a bed with that for a night? Absolutely not.
Please no. They don't even have like the. They even have fly swatters and shit back then. Just like, oh my goodness, these insects probably mistook that for something that was like dead and decaying. Maggots appearing on this fucking on this like these gross niggers. But what were you saying, man? I interrupted you again there.
No, I think that's you know, the only thing that we need to talk. What else is there to say except that like Fox News is you know just full of nonsense.
Well, here's I want to fucking scream. That's what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? Because like this overwhelming feeling of like watching everything you grew up around. No, like I didn't grow up in fucking Virginia. You know what I mean? But like these are all parts of. Like, this is part of, like, our story, you know what I mean? As America, like, and just watching all of our shit just be destroyed, and basically just being, like, helpless to do anything about it at this point in time. Except what? Like, bitch about it? Like, complain about it? I mean, like, Leviathan continues to move left. And, I mean, they're...
Yeah.
Really,
the whole
all I can
bug
say...
Was right.
Yeah, it's just, like, all I can say is just express my... My day is ruined.
Disgust.
Immediately disgust, helplessness, and just like I just want to fucking scream. What can you even do? Like what the
right? Fuck? Well, and to that point, I mean, everyone who went, 4 years ago, you have my respect and admiration. It was a worthwhile thing to go and tell the scientific truth about Wes Bellamy and to honor great men like General Jackson and General Lee.
I read thousands of books to come up with that fucking thesis, and it was for nothing.
You know, to this day, it has not been debunked.
No.
Never. Never has been. No. Never will be.
Science is settled.
It is settled. You know what? It was peer-reviewed, and like he had no rebuttal. So.
That's right.
Peer-reviewed.
It was peer reviewed.
It was really,
you know, I had Dr. Dark Enlightenment, a number of other scientists,
Dr. Layman himself,
Dr. Layman.
That's right. No, and so I mean, did you have a winner? Is that that your subtotal of what you wanted to talk about this week, Larry?
Oh no, I mean, shit, man. There's winners everywhere. There could I don't know, man. The people who ripped the statues down, I guess they're a winner.
Nakuya Walker. All right. Larry, what do you got?
The Ascendant.
Or Nikki, what do you got?
Well, I have the other losers of the week, which is the gays.
Oh, yes.
Because
someone's telling me about the gays.
They got exposed before they could expose themselves to children and had to backtrack, had to take down fucking everything and start sending copyright removal requests to major platforms for putting out propaganda intended for children. Just total mask off. Hey, you were right. We are going to indoctrinate your kids. And, were some receipts dug up or what?
Well, dude, weren't some of those guys actually found out to be, like, sex offenders?
Yes.
Oh, indeed.
And even better than
multiple
that.
Multiple men on the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. Infamous institution in American society. The faces and names can be searched in the publicly available sex offender registry, and sure enough, undeniable proof was uncovered that at least four members of the choir are known homosexuals and also pedophiles, but I repeat myself.
Yes, you do. There's some other delicious information that just is like a warm bath of confirmation bias and hate. The lead singer, the guy with the funny eyebrows, is half Japanese and half Jewish. There's a photo going around of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, and there's a bunch of guys in black and like five guys dressed in white. And the five guys dressed in white are the last five original members. Every other one of them died of AIDS. So, like, the original San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus from, like, 1980s, whenever they started it, every single original member except five died of AIDS. And then they tell you that you're coming for your children, which is a deliberate double entendre. Like, don't forget that, like these people, like, if you have kids, they want to rape your children. Okay?
All faggots are pedophiles.
Yes. That's right. Absolutely 100%. And these people were exposed as, you know, what they are. And they took a massive L. And they're getting all kinds of hate. And, you know, they're publishing letters of, like, please be patient with us in this time while we, you know, worry about the fact that we've been exposed and we're getting lots of hate. And, yeah. This is
like the internal,
yes, sir.
The memo, like, for the other gays, like, you know, giving an update on the situation, literally saying, we're doing our best to control the narrative. Like, tell me something I didn't know.
Well, dude, another thing, too, they came out then and were like, this whole thing was just fucking satirical in the first place. It's like, no! There are under no circumstance. Like, and what the fuck? Right there, it's like, that's your satire, faggot? Like, the satire for faggots, in their mind, I mean, it wasn't satire. They were being dead fucking serious. But, like, even their thing of saying that it was a satirical little song they did, their satire is talking about fucking children. That's disgusting.
Yeah. And we're not talking about, like, a couple of 14-year-olds, like, necking in the back of a car. We're talking about grown-ass men.
Who are fighting to have the right, like, let's just be clear about, like, grown-ass men who want to adopt children so they can have them as, like, sex dolls. Real-life sex dolls. That's what's going on here. And, like, these motherfuckers have people, like, what was that thing in Philadelphia? They sided with the Catholics saying, like, oh, you don't have to, like, let faggots adopt kids out of this agency. But they basically told the faggots what argument to make to make sure they had to fucking let them adopt.
Right. And this is the reason these people interact with children isn't because they care about children or because they want the best thing for children.
Because they're demonic and
right. I mean, like the Aleister Crowley himself said, you know, demons enter when you open that up, when the one way, you know, goes the wrong way, that's when you get demons. and these people all have demons, and they want to violently sodomize your children.
Well,
you know, AIDS is a sign of the demon.
AIDS is a punishment from God, is what that is, 100%.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know what cures AIDS?
Yes, Leviticus
2013.
AIDS in 6 months.
Yeah, Leviticus 2013.
So, unfortunately, I also have a different story posted today or yesterday. That says Americans living with HIV have the same life expectancy as those without. In a new study.
That's a big L. No,
suicide rates, however, remain high. So there's a silver lining.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. No, why? And this is why, you know, Fox News, you know, with the treating Bruce Jenner like he's someone who's worth talking to, and all of this nonsense, and how do we be pro, you know, we need more people, LGBTQ or LMNOP people in the Republican Party. You know, like America First is now a bunch of gays, you know.
Yeah, well, some of the best members of this America First movement are Jewish and gay.
Exactly. You know, how did working with those people work for you there, Nikki boy? You're still banned off Twitter. There's no point in engaging with these people, and the system is completely illegitimate. There's no, and to that point, I had a quick story here.
Well, on that note, just before we move on from this, and there's another thing, our government just being derelicting that, like. Into complete dereliction of their duties. Like Leviticus 2013 as like the cure for AIDS in 6 months. That's not my job as an individual. That's the government's job. Do you know what I mean? Like they should be dealing with that problem like wholesale, but they don't. Instead, they do the opposite. They encourage people. They want to turn people into faggots. And then, but for what reason? And then I read another thing yesterday where they're talking about people with AIDS, with all the drugs and shit that they have now for them. They have roughly similar life expectancy now with all the drugs they pump these people full of. I mean, they still have much higher rates of suicide. But now they're allowing these fucking people to live longer with this shit. Do you know what I mean?
So right, and it's coming out of your pocket.
Yeah, it's coming out of our pocket. You're right, DE. What the fuck, man? Like, they're not only they're not doing what they're supposed to be. Like, I've already said it. I made the point already. But our government should be carrying out. But their total dereliction of their fucking duty there.
Yes, they are. And speaking of total dereliction of duty, the podcaster Daryl Cooper, who has the Martyr Made podcast, had a tweet thread go viral, Tucker Carlson read it in his entirety last evening. And it's kind of, I mean, he's edgy conservative, I guess, and here's something just to illustrate the vileness of the system. Keep in mind what Larry just said. it's a fairly long tweet there, so I'm going to read it. I think I've had enough discussions with enough boomer-tiered Trump supporters who believe the 2020 election was fraudulent to extract a general theory about their perspective. It is also the perspective of most people at the Capitol on 1/6, and probably even Trump himself. Most people believe some or all of the theories involving midnight ballots, voting machines, etc. But when you find out and talk to them, is that they'll defend those positions with info they got from Hannity or Breitbart or whatever. They're not particularly attached to them. Here are the facts, actual confirmed facts that shape their perspective. One, the FBI etc., spied on the 2016 Trump campaign using evidence manufactured by the Clinton campaign. We now know that all involved knew that it was fake from day one. See Brennan's July 2016 memo, etc. These are Tea Party people, the types who give their kids a pocket constitution for their birthday and have the Founding Father memes in their bios. The intel community spying on a presidential campaign using fake evidence, including forged documents, is a big deal to them. Everyone involved lied about their involvement as long as they could. We only learned the DNC paid for the manufactured evidence because of a court order. Comey denied on TV knowing that DNC paid for it when he had emails from a year earlier proving that he knew. This was true with everyone from CIA Director Brennan and Adam Schiff, who were on TV saying they'd seen clear evidence of collusion with Russia while admitting under oath behind closed doors that they hadn't, all the way down the line. In the end, we learned that it was all fake. At first, many Trump supporters, people were worried that there must be some collusion because every media and intel agency wouldn't make it up out of nothing. When it was clear that they had made it up, people expected a reckoning and shed many illusions about the government when it didn't happen. We knew as a fact that A, the Steele dossier was the sole evidence used to justify spying on the DNC Trump campaign. B, the FBI knew the Steele dossier was a DNC op. C, Steele's source told the FBI the info was unserious. D, they did not inform the court of any of this and kept spying. Trump supporters knew the collusion case front and back. They went from worrying the collusion must be real to suspecting it might be fake to worrying realizing it was a scam, then watching as every institution, agencies, the press, Congress, academia, gaslit them for another year. Worse, collusion was used to scare people away from working in the administration. They knew that their entire lives would be investigated. Many quit because they were being bankrupted by legal fees. The DOJ, press, and government destroyed their lives and actively subverted an elected administration. This is where people whose political identity was largely defined by a naive belief what they learned in civics class began to see the outline of the regime that crossed all institutional boundaries because it had stepped out of the shadows to unite against an interloper. GOP propaganda still has many of them thinking in terms of partisan binaries, but a lot of Trump supporters see that the regime is not partisan. They all know that the same institutions would have taken opposite sides if it was a Tulsi Gabbard, Jeb Bush election. It's hard to describe people on the left who used to be thinking of government as conspiracy, Watergate, COINTEL, WMD. How shocking and disillusioning this was for people who encourage their sons to enlist in the army and hate people who don't stand for the anthem. They could have managed to shock if only it involved the government, but the behavior of the corporate press is really what radicalized them. They hate journalists more than they hate any politician or government official because they feel most betrayed by them. The idea that the press is driven by ratings, sensationalism, became untenable. If that were true, they'd be all over the Epstein story. The corporate press is the propaganda arm of the regime. They now see an outline. Nothing anyone says will ever make them unsee that, period. This is profoundly disorienting. Many of them don't know for certain whether ballots were faked in November 2020, but they know for absolute certain the press, the FBI, etc., would lie to them if there was. They have every reason to believe that, and it's probably true. They watch the press behave like animals for 4 years. Tens of millions of people will always see Kavanaugh as a gang rapist based on nothing, because CNN seems proud of that. They led a lynch mob against a high school kid. They cheered on a summer of riots. They always claimed the media had a liberal bias, fine, whatever. They still thought the press would admit the truth if they were cornered. Now they don't. It's a different thing to watch them invent stories whole cloth in order to destroy regular lives and spark mass violence. Time magazine told us in 2020 riots there were weekly conference calls involving, among others, leaders of the protests, the local officials who refused to stop them, and media people who framed them for political effect. In Ukraine, we would call that a color revolution. People thought that Throughout the summer, Democrat governors took advantage of COVID to change voting procedures. It wasn't just the mail-ins. They lowered signature matching standards, etc. After the collusion scam, the fake impeachment, Trump people expected shenanigans by now. RE fake impeachment. We now know that the Trump's request for Ukraine to cooperate with the DOJ regarding Biden's money activities in Ukraine was in support of an active investigation being pursued by the FBI and the Ukrainian AG at the time, so it's a completely legitimate request. Then you get the Hunter laptop scandal. Big Tech ran a full-on censorship campaign against a major newspaper to protect a political candidate, period. Everyone knows that all of the tech companies now admit it was a mistake, but, you know, election's over, so who cares? Goes without saying, but the New York Times had Don Jr.'s laptop full of pics of him smoking crack and engaging in group sex, lots of lurid family drama, emails describing direct communication corruption and backed up by the CEO of the company they were using. The New York Times once would have been banned. Think back. Stories about Trump being pissed on by Russian prostitutes and blackmailed by Putin promoted as fact, and the only evidence was a document paid for by his opposition and disavowed by its sources. The New York Post was banned for reporting on true information. The reaction of Trump? People, all this was not no fair. That's how they all felt about Romney's binders of women in 2012. This is different. Now they see, correctly, that every institution is captured by people who will use any means to exclude them from the political process. And yet they showed up in record numbers to vote. He got 13 million more votes than in 2016, 10 more million more than Clinton got. As an election night dragged on, they allowed themselves some hope. But when they four critical swing states, and only those states, went dark at midnight, they knew. Over the ensuing weeks, they got shuffled around by grifters and media scam artists selling them conspiracy theories. They latched onto one, then another increasingly absurd theory as they tried to put a concrete name on something very real. Media and tech did everything to make things worse. Everything about the election was strange. The changes to procedure, unprecedented mail-in voting, delays. But rather than admit it and make everything transparent, they banned discussion of it. Even in DMs. Everyone knows that just a Don Jr.'s laptop would have been the story of the century if everything about the election was dispute was the same, except in parties were reversed and suspicious about the outcome would have been taken very seriously, see 2016 for proof. Even the court's refusal to get the case nowhere with them, because that's how the opposition embraced mass political violence. They'll say, with good reason, what judge will stick his neck out for Trump knowing he'll be destroyed in the media as a violent mob burns down his house? It's a fact, according to Time magazine, that mass riots were planned in the cities across the country if Trump won. Sure, there were protests, but they were planned by the same people as during the summer, and everyone knows what would have happened. Judges have families, too. Forget the ballot conspiracies. The fact that governors use COVID to unconstitutionally alter election procedures, like the Constitution states that the only legislatures can do so, to help Biden make up for a massive enthusiasm gap by gaming the mail-in ballot system. They knew it was unconstitutional. It's right there in plain English. But they knew the cases wouldn't see court until after the election. And what judges will toss millions of ballots because the governor broke the rules? The threat of mass residents wasn't implied. It was direct. The entrenched bureaucracy and the security state subverted Trump from day one. B, the press is still part of the operation. C, election rules were changed. D, big tech censors opposition. E, political violence is legitimized and encouraged. F, Trump is banned from social media. They were led down some rabbit holes, but they are absolutely right that the government is monopolized by a regime that believes they are beneath representation and will observe no limits to keep them from getting it. Trump fans should be happy he lost. It might have kept him alive. Almost forgot. The security director at Dominion Voting Systems was for decades a member of an anti-racist skinhead groups and posted pro-riot Antifa messages on Facebook during the summer riots. Who knows if his approval of illegal means to receive political ends affects his job, but ask yourselves how people would react if the security officer at a major voting machine company in 2022 turned out to be a lifelong Berger posting pro-capital riot messages on Facebook. The info was all out in the public domain, but the media ignored it. Why? So this is a fairly normal guy who just, I believe he's a veteran, who just wants the Constitution and a decent heart. But, and why, you know, you've been banned from Twitter. Why I've been banned. I think all three of us have been banned from Twitter multiple times. Not that any of us would evade a ban, but, you know, I've had friends and such banned multiple times. We're not allowed to use PayPal? Why we're not allowed to use web hosting services, all this other stuff, because this, you know, this guy's probably going to get banned from a bunch of different stuff now. And why Fox News is part of the problem, right? Like you can't tell ordinary white people. And of course, you know, screw Donald Trump. He knew all this stuff going in and did nothing in the 4 years that he was around in the Republican Party, because they're entirely captured by the same Jews that own everything. Didn't, you know, aided and abetted this whole process of not representing the ordinary decent people who deserve being represented in the constitutional republic. In a constitutional republic, but these people are now finding out that the system just hates them because they're white. And, you know, the regime is, you know, is and has been illegitimate for many, many years. But, you know, ordinary people are waking up to that fact now. So we'll see how that turns out.
You know, one thing I will say on this is that I'm skeptical. I don't, and not even skeptical. Not with this guy, but Tucker read this out in its entirety, you said?
Yes, sir.
Why did he do that? I want to know what that's all about, because he is a bad person. He is not a good agent here. So, wonder what that's all about, you know what I mean? Do you have any thoughts on that? Like, why would he have done this? Because he cannot be trusted.
No.
Well, I did notice some punches being pulled in that statement. A lot of implications in some of the tweets that this guy posted as you were reading them. Like, you know, implying, Kavanaugh isn't a gang rapist, but he's also, like, you know, still part of the whole entrenched libtard system. Just look at his record. It speaks for itself. Terrible. Also calling what happened on January 6th a riot, Capitol rioters. No. There are things here that are still, like, not really true all the way. It's not the full truth. There is still, like, the super narrative being sublimated into what this guy is saying. Now, it's more aware and better articulated than most, but it still falls short of what really is going on.
Yeah, these are like the scraps you'd throw out. Like, these are like things like, okay, you guys are starting to, like, ask some questions. So, well, here's a couple of inconsequential answers for you to just, like, chew on for a little while. Yeah, it makes sense. Makes sense. It's like, you either tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, or so help you God. But, I mean, it's not going to happen, so.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that this guy's probably edging on that could be made more explicit, but he's maybe hedging for his own reasons.
Yeah, but I mean, but putting this stuff out there, like, people are going to bite onto that thinking that this is the real shit now, right? They're going to think, like, oh, man, well, this is the real shit. And then they're going to get stuck on this. And then while they're stuck on this bullshit, we're going to keep getting, like, just moving down and just more of this horse shit. And then eventually it's going to be like, oh, my gosh. Like, can you believe they want to have – they don't want to just have sex with one child. They want to have threesomes with more than one child. What? Unbelievable. Ah. So, like, we're there someday.
Well,
I mean, exactly what's going on here, but, like, that's what this all is. We just – it's a continual moving. Like, they give us fucking scraps to, like, talk about for a little while they, like, hurry on and push us fucking farther to the left. Not even, like, to the left, just farther into evil. Just farther into evil.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you about any of that, man. Like, you know, we've talked for a long time. You know how much I hate all this stuff. Oh, yeah. But there's... I think that important, not because... I agree with you, you know, CIA 11, MF for Tucker Carlson, right? Like, oh, you know, I tried to join the CIA, but I was rejected. Oh, really, Mr. Operation Mockingbird?
Believe me, Dark, I never was in the CIA. I got rejected. They didn't want me because I'm the resistance against the CIA.
Code name Bowtie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's the MK code Ultra name word.
Yeah.
Code name Bowtie might be the show title.
You got to look through all the his old appearances on MSNBC and look for when he was wearing what was the Sirhan, the blue dress with white polka dots. See if he's wearing that bow tie, blue and white polka dot bow tie.
Got to whisper cow piss into his ear.
Exactly. No, but when you just understand that Tucker Carlson exists on Fox News specifically to keep people from listening to this show and shows like it, and people from just turning it off entirely and keep and that you know, Sean Hannity, you know, in I've been listening to right-wing media for a long time, and you know, there was a time when like Sean Hannity was edgy, right? But for most people, you know, Hannity's just a milquetoast hack now.
He's a great American.
Right. Yeah. You know, like, that's right. You know, Mark Levin, right? Like, he's just a truculent, obnoxious Jew. You know, and in fact, probably the biggest story of the last week, you know, to like Afghanistan wins again, right? Like we just left Afghanistan. We lost the war in Afghanistan this week, and no one's talking about it, right? like Bagram Air Force Base. We just left.
Yeah, but didn't we do that so that like China could offer them a bunch of money to like for infrastructure, they could put them in debt and maybe get them to like cede some of their territory?
Well, I mean, that's FTN's take, but like the United States just lost a war in Afghanistan.
Good.
Yeah, but I don't think they set out to win the war, really. They were just there to destabilize the region. They didn't really, like, because we're not really in the business of winning wars. When was the last time we really won one?
It's 1776.
Yeah, because we might have been on the, quote, winning side for World War II, but we really lost everything.
Right. No, you know, but again, and there might be a deeper shot there, and I frankly don't know enough about it to see, you know, whether or not to dispute any of the stuff that the Jazz and the boys have talked about. For those people that join the military thinking that they're going to go protect God and the Constitution and mom and apple pie that you know, marched on January 6th and were a little bit maybe trepidatious about what happened at Seville 4 years ago, those people believed that they were going to Afghanistan to bring democracy, punish evildoers, and like give girls the right to go to school and stuff. And we definitely lost that, right? And what we are seeing, I hope, is a mass disillusionment with the system. And hopefully we get them activated on being pro-white. We'll see. But I just see this as a massive L for the system as it exists. And remember that you know, before the call, Nikki and I were talking about the good old days of being on SoundCloud. And I talk about this all the time. But, like, if we were allowed to exist within a marketplace of ideas as they say actually exists, Larry Ridgway would be a household name. And you'd be, like, doing the Conan O'Brien bit. You know, hosting it. You know, like, oh, I mean, seriously.
A late night, you know, show.
Yeah, late night show. You'd be like, you know, the racist.
I don't know. I don't know if Larry has a vocabulary tame enough for late night.
Sure.
Well, no. Right.
It'll be a job for you, though. I know it won't be the fun hobby.
Well, if Larry wanted to do this as a professional, he could do it as a professional, and he's better than the people that you see now.
Well, hey, brother, listen, Larry could do that now if he would just pick himself up by his bootstraps. You know what I'm saying? There in America, right. We got freedom, opportunity here.
Right. Except I'm banned from PayPal and Twitter and Facebook and everything else. So yeah, sure. Right. Like, and that's what these people need to understand is right now. Hopefully, the decent people who actually make this country run, their loyalty is still to this regime that hates them, and we're seeing them lose that loyalty piece by piece, and hopefully some kind of, I don't know what takes place. It'll probably be something fake and gay, and Larry's, you know, doom predictions are probably correct, but I think it's worth pointing out that, like, are fundamental critiques of the system as being legitimate, as being run by Jews. You know, they're getting out there. And as bad as things might be, you know, as disgusting as it is to see, you know, a bunch of subhumans just take down these statues of these great men like General Lee and General Jackson, it is worthwhile and important to fight this shit for its own sake. You know, I believe that when I die, I'll be called to account, and you know, I can say with, you know, I fought these demonic faggot Jews when others wouldn't, and I believe that counts for something. So, you know, even if we lose, it's still worth the fight of fighting these people, because they literally do want, like, rape kids and you know, do demon shit, like you know, Hillary Clinton is a demon powered robot in a skin suit. And nobody should feel bad about hating these people. You know, I mean, what is there to say for them?
I mean, nothing.
There's nothing. There's only the friend to enemy distinction and further reinforcement thereof.
Yeah.
Like anyway. having sympathy for the enemy is a strategy for, you know, not total failure, but prolonged trouble.
Yeah. Oh, and they're not just the not like we're playing a game of chess and like, oh, hey, I lost. Like, no, these people are the enemies of not just you personally, of white people, of goodness. They're like literally like enemies of God, and they're proud of it. They're enemies of everything good, true, and beautiful, and you should hate them. You should hate them with a perfect hatred.
Yes.
I think I don't know what.
In all of this, I think the what's left to be done, like, you know, especially considering what's missing from that tweet thread as an example of how to consider things. What needs to be pushed more, I think, is the explicit, demonstration that these institutions are anti-white. That needs to be made explicit. And after the whole thing with that Carolyn Borisenko woman, that showed there's a new litmus test out there, and the test is anti-white. Are you willing to use that framing to describe, you know, the phenomena we see around us in society? And if you're not willing to use that, then you are controlled opposition. Not helping.
Right. Well, and I think that it's vitally important that we keep pushing. And we can view this as, you know, more controlled opposition trying to corral people, or we can say, you know, that our undermining of the legitimacy of the system shows that the far right edge of what's acceptable keeps coming our way, because they just can't keep up with the lies. I mean, you know, like I know that the official narrative has been like, you know, the 5%, like the white guys that stayed home. And I completely understand why Trump lost. But at the same time, like, I completely believe that, you know, the election, that there was a bunch of hijinks. And in fact, I reject the legitimacy of any system where people in Detroit or Philadelphia or Milwaukee or Atlanta have any say in the system. Like the problem with, what's her face? The lady in Atlanta, who was like the black lady who was
buck teeth or gap
teeth. Yeah. I can't remember her name.
I can't remember it either. Stacey Abrams. But yes, God, remember when like there was like a, you right. know, the talk was she'd be vice president.
Right. But like, yeah. Like Stacey Abrams is illegitimate. Just because she's Stacey Abrams.
Just because she like, look at her. My God.
Right. Like, I reject this system that puts up someone like that in charge of anything.
I'm not going to be led by an A. Wyatt Man character.
No, I'm not. And people need to, you know, like, people need to get to that point. But did you have anything else, Nikkei? Is there anything that I'm missing? I mean, like we literally lost the war in Afghanistan this week. You know, normal people are waking up to the election being fraud. Gaze took the L. Anything else?
I don't think anything in particular on those matters. I mean, I don't know if we have anything more to add on Afghanistan. I guess I don't know you didn't really say your actual personal feelings on taking the L. My feelings are I think it's a good thing. Getting out was long overdue. Winning was not good for humanity. Just calling it quits, I think, was the morally optimal outcome in this case. But the way you were describing it, it seemed like you feel differently.
No, I think we should have gone home like 19 years ago. But at the same time, it's humiliating and half-assed and disorganized and disgusting and incompetent. I see absolutely zero reason why any American boy should be in Afghanistan for any reason whatsoever, let alone there, you know, holding a rifle, guarding poppy fields, possibly getting his ass shot off. I think we should have come home a long, long time ago.
I mean, all other things held equal, do you think winning could ever have been like a morally preferable option to leaving in defeat? Like whether it was now or 19 years ago when we, you know, decided to, you know, call it quits.
I don't know that. Maybe 19 years ago, I would have thought there's a possibility of winning now, knowing what I know about who really did 9/11 and other things like that. I don't know if there was
the virtue of winning. I see. I don't think, you know. All right. If you asked me back then, first of all, I would have been a literal child. Second of all, I would have thought winning was, you know, obviously morally preferable. That's like, you know, we defeated the 9/11 people because that's, you know, what I was led to believe. But that's not the case. You know, knowing what I know now, I think, you know, if we are doing the go back in time hypothetical, losing 19 years ago still would have been better than winning 19 years ago. Because yeah. I think winning in Afghanistan means, okay, now we've spread the Zog disease to another country, you know, one of the most infamously resilient nations in the world. You know, the superpowers that seek to impose their ideology, you know, I don't think they do well with they morally benefit from, you know, Westernism. I think it's a morally inferior system to their just traditional, you know, Muslim ways.
Yeah, I would be forced to agree with you. I think that the only notable thing about it, I think, is, again, I'm thinking of a couple people who I know who are, you know, patriotic veterans who served in Afghanistan, thinking that they were bringing girls, you know, the ability to go to school and read and, you know, rights or whatever, and democracy.
But you know the
humiliating
ultra traditionalist inside of you says all of those things are evil.
Yeah, no,
acts
Boko Haram is not wrong. Like women's education is a problem. I think about the incompetence and the embarrassing. You know, like this is, you know, the equivalent of like leaving at 3 a.m. after a one night stand. And not texting her back, right? Like that's how the U.S. Army left, or the U.S. Air Force left Bagram Air Force Base, right? Not like make breakfast and like exchange phone numbers, but like ooh, that was embarrassing, and then, you know, like getting in your car and leaving at 3 a.m. sort of thing.
Dude, this was like 20 freaking years, man. Like, I'm trying to think of the parallel here. A one night stand is you pick up a girl at the bar, and like, you know, the shameful exit is like, you know, it only took you 2 minutes to finish, and then, you know, in your PNC, you just decide to leave without another word. This was a 20 year single night, and then we still ended up leaving in the middle of it, in the middle of the night, no word. I don't know. I personally think the disgraceful exit is, you know, poetically fitting.
Oh no, it's completely consistent with how they've conducted everything, and I don't know if it was possible to win, but I will say that it is a bigger deal than the media is making it, because again, you know, I think we talked about this, but the media knows the stories that they're uncovering that are a big deal and that they're deliberately ignoring, and we know that they know, and so the dynamic silence of like, yeah, we're just going to ignore this like massive L of like 20 years and then leaving this 20 year relationship where we have prop up all these heroin dealers and pedophiles and what have you. And we're just going to like ghost them like a bad one night stand. And you know, like the US military, like, oh, the you know, invincible US military takes this massive loss. And, the guys that we, you know, fought so hard against 20 years ago are now, you know, back in charge of their country in record time. They'll probably be in charge of Kabul by like November. Like, they'll be in total control of the country, and it'll be like the last 20 years of blood, treasure, and death have just not happened. But I do think that, again, for the silences and for and you can see it, you know. Most of our shows are growing in terms of a reach and audience. People are starting to wake up. People are, you know, some of the larger channels on Telegram are reaching people. So, you know, I think it's important to talk about, insofar as like the obvious failure of the Zog machine, an embarrassing and evil thing that they did in invading Afghanistan. Is worth talking about, but is Larry back or is he still busy?
He's still busy.
Okay. Well, I don't really know that there's anything else we could talk about. I mean, like you know, knowing what I know now, I wish we'd lost in 19, but you know, in 2002, right? Like, yeah, we toppled the Taliban and got the people like after what was the big battle with the caves, like after that, like after, okay, Al-Qaeda's left Afghanistan, yay, and then gone home. But in terms of really winning, I mean, this is just, it's absurd. You know, like 20 years, and you leave just like ghosting, like a one night stand.
Good riddance.
Good riddance to Zog rubbish.
The Afghan spirit remains unbroken.
Yeah.
Unlike us and, you know, America's spirit, which is broken and righteously so. I mean, think about it in old time, you know, Old Testament biblical terms of how that dynamic worked. I only just considered it now, but like, wow, that is pretty damn biblical. It's like,
it is. It is.
Here's the superpower going home, humiliated and you know, defeated, like Christ casting down a demon, you know, how a demon returns back to hell in a state of submission and humiliation, you know, versus a the old school righteous, you know, nation that defeated Goliath here, standing proud and in charge, surviving yet again.
Sure. Well, and the thing about this is that, you know, look at what, you know, Spector's great line that I've used quite a bit, you know, like USA stands for usury, sodomy, abortion. And, you know, like this is an evil country and we do evil things. We go places and we debt trap diplomacy people using IMF, you know, the Jews that run this country get their hooks into people. And we use it to, you know, kill their children and turn their sons gay. That's, you know, like that's, you know, we're coming for your children. You know, like you know, Uncle Sam and drag, you know, should be, you know, like with banks should be like, we're coming for your children. We're going to turn them, you know, like that. That's what we do.
It's like the song they play in your CIA black site torture cell.
Right. Right, and the fact that Tucker Carlson hasn't talked about that, it's like, oh, Mr. Operation Mockingbird dude. What, you know, again, like he's obviously a bad actor, and he's useful only insofar as that he keeps pushing, or he keeps having to go further right because his viewers are starting to wake up to things. But, you know, this is an evil. An evil empire. It's an evil Zog empire. And
who do you think's the most public figure who'd give a the fire and brimstone shame on you, America, you know, sermon? Is there anybody? I mean, to the extent that Ron Paul gets any attention, you know,
he might be the man. Only one. Might be the only one. It's an interesting question.
I mean, Alex Jones is too much of a you know, patriot to really to say that. He's not willing to blame America, rightfully, for, you know, the evil that it's done.
That's true. I don't know if there's anybody in public life that could do that.
I don't think so. I guess it's just people like us who can say it without, you know. They'll give you the full story, too, that, you know, it's America because America is controlled by Zog.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Noam Chomsky could be like, wow, you know, America, you know, manufacturing consent and America controls Israel. Like, no. Put the bong down. You know who might be able to do some of that? Is an honest leftist like Jimmy Dore might be able to actually say something.
Perhaps.
You know? But I don't think that, you know, like there's a guy that's like one early life deep dive away from fully understanding the shot. And I think that he,
right.
You know.
Well, even Dore was kicked off his, I don't know if it was like a forced kick off or like a insisted, retirement off of his biggest platform, which was on the Young Turks.
Right, yeah.
I mean, even his voice has been, you know, marginalized from where it once was. I don't know. Maybe he's more popular now. I don't actually know.
He's actually doing better, it seems like. You know. I'm skeptical of anybody who's allowed in public life, simply because under this system, if they're allowed to talk, they're probably malicious in some way. So,
yeah, that's the thing. Gotta wonder what the Blake Neff episode of Tucker Carlson Tonight would be. You know. Day after this troop withdrawal,
would have been interesting.
Blake, if you're listening, and you probably are, honestly, send us an email to nikiforos@tuda.io. Let us know what you would have said. I want to hear your thoughts.
Yes, indeed. get in touch, fam. We want to hear from you.
It's like a shame. It's a shame that your narratives aren't being put out to a big audience anymore. And you know, it's high time we do something about that.
That's right. Yeah. But anyway, no, I think that how ridiculous. I just checked Twitter and apparently Kimberly Guilfoyle is trending because she was at CPAC, and who cares about CPAC? But Donald Trump is apparently annoyed with Kimberly Guilfoyle because she's grifting off the Trump family name. And I remember that,
Hey, sorry I had to step away for just a few moments there, but did I hear you correctly? Did you say that Kim Guilfoyle is alleging sexual abuse?
No.
No? Okay.
Apparently she's I have no idea, man. It's like
I just made that up.
Well,
I didn't hear
anything. To be honest, her name. You know, like when she was Mrs. Gavin Newsom, people remember that. Like, remember, she used to be married to the governor of California, governor of California. Yeah, oh yeah.
And now she's like Don Jr.'s fuck toy now, right?
Yeah, plastic fuck toy.
Oh my goodness. Like,
she was much prettier when she was not made of plastic.
And Newsom's getting recalled, dude. He's not going to be the governor anymore.
That demon rat is being taken down. Yeah,
and the true conservative Caitlyn Jenner is going to replace him.
Oh god.
I mean, thank goodness, dude. I've had enough of the socialism.
Oh my god. I totally forgot about that. And
I mean,
socialism in California.
Yeah. Yeah. No, never mind.
Buckle up, buckaroos.
Oh god. We are a nation under judgment, and we deserve it. 100%, we were given California, this paradise on earth, and we turned it into a
haven
hellhole
for pedophile choirs and Mexicans.
Exactly.
I mean, the signs were there. Once you know,
yeah.
In the golden age of Hollywood, people knew. The signs were there and the rumors began, but it was still, you know, displaced by the Orange County crowd that, you know, judgment upon California was excused and, you know, left to the side.
Yeah. Well, and watch an empire of their own if you don't know what that is. But, Larry, I think we need to wrap it up here. Is there anything you wanted to add or, that we forgot?
No, not off the top of my head. I don't have anything. I don't know if Borzoi's going to do something tonight or not. I know generally they do a 4-hour long I'm just kidding, a 2-hour long program. I think we're only like an hour and 10 minutes in here, so.
That's all right.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Nick Fuentes? Briefly? There's nothing to say. He's gone from Twitter, but it's like, whatever.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah, welcome, my friend. Just kidding, yeah, like, we're not friends.
No. and you know, all his optics, always, you know, like I said on Telegram, the first step to being a free man is being able to say nigger faggot in your own mind. And Nick Fuentes was banned just as much if he'd said nothing but nigger faggot. So
he got banned and he like said really gay shit for a long time. So it's like, man, you're in the same boat that I am, but I never said gay shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you know that one quote that Aristotle said where he's like, once you gay, nigga, you always gay forever.
Like yeah.
And I don't know, dude. And I was another thing too. I listened to The Enchiridion yesterday by Epictetus. More like Epic Sleeptus, you know what I'm saying? Holy shit, that was a slog. It was only 50 minutes too.
Oh. Well, getting your learn on. Larry, where can people find you?
here on the third rail from time to time. And I host a program on the rightstuff.biz called Hate House. And that's it.
It's a must listen, everybody. Tune in. We do for laughs and fun and science.
Chemistry.
That's right. Nikiforos, where can you be found, my friend?
You can find me on the rightstuff.biz, on the Young Whites, and occasionally making a guest appearance on the number one Young Whites fan podcast, The Learned Elders of Zyklon.
Excellent, excellent. Are you on Post at all or any?
Yes, it's not Post, it's pleroma.nobodyhasthe.biz, but it's all federated, all in one place. If you're on Post, you can see me, I can see you, and we can follow each other. It's at Nike, at pleroma.nobodyhasthe.biz.
Greeks aren't real.
It's true. They're just Western Turks. Yeah. I have been your absolutely terrible and subpar substitute host this afternoon or this morning, Dark Enlightenment. I can be found at t.me/dark_enlightenment, I think. Well, it'll be in the show notes. My aphorisms channel, I can be found at Gab. I've had a Gab account for years. I'll probably actually be starting to use that again to bully normie.
This guy remembers his Gab password.
Yeah. I had to reset it a few times. But gab.com/enlightdark, and I can be found every once in a while on the third rail. So thank you all for listening, and have a wonderful weekend.
See you, Kyle!
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.